Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine atmosphere, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Yabba dabba doo 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 boo boo doo boo doo boo bee dee ba ba doo ba 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 wa 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 ma wa wa ma ma wa wa ma ma wa wa ma na ma ma na ma mo 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 na mo 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 na mo na mo ma ding 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 ring ding. I don't care what that goddamn fox has to say, it can shut the hell up before I take a stick and shove it down its freaking throat. Hi, EW.
Greetings.
and maybe
I got a feeling you're about to go back and do some editing after this.
Hell no. I'm leaving that one in. That stupid freaking song about the freaking fox thing is just dumb.
Why did they
it was a joke. They did it for fun. And I get where they came from making that video, but the song and the whole thing and the hype behind it is like, oh my god! However, I do have to say that was better than the Harlem Shuffle, but dudes, seriously? No, not going to do it. Wilford Brimley? What? And when the hell did I say, hey Peggy? Hi Peggy! I don't know who Peggy is. Who's Peggy? Peggy, speak up.
I know who Peggy is. She's here for the show after.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize I had actually typed Hey Peggy because I went through the list as people were talking in and said hey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's going to be a lot of people tuning
Matthew
in.
Matthew says there's silence.
There can't be silence because we're broadcasting.
Okay, maybe Matthew needs to refresh.
Yeah, I really suggest if you guys don't hear, you might want to refresh.
Ooh, actually, they're all saying no sound.
What?
Yes, they're all saying no sound.
Well, that's interesting, because we are broadcasting bytes. Oh, you know what? I know exactly what the problem is.
You didn't flip the switch.
No, there is a switch. I did not click that switch. Yeah, so it's coming. It's coming. I forgot about that. I did make that switch because we were doing a test with a new system. There is a big system we're about to do a change on to give you a new player that's more easily operatable, not to mention has great sounds and so forth. But
bottom line, you hit the red button.
I hit the red button. Oh, my God. I pulled a Joe Dog.
Have you undone it yet? Can they hear us?
I have.
Can I make fart noises now and be flatulently fantastic?
If that's what a zombie does,
that's me, flatulently flatastic.
Yes, but as we were saying, Miss Peggy's waiting for the show after yours.
Well, she can listen to some zombie goodness and fun, listen to the nice feller Felix Travers.
Yes, he's coming up, and oh my God, wait until you hear what he did. What he's doing.
And you can talk about that on the Free Pie Night.
On Free Pie. Yeah, that's coming up next.
But this is the zombie show, and we talk about zombies and comic books and whatever the hell I want to freaking talk about. And right now, I think I'm going to freaking talk about a couple of movies I watched this weekend.
I wanted to hear that. I was going to say, and you're going to tell me about movies.
Yes, I likes movies. I likes them a lot. I likes to watch. Do you know how many movies I've watched this year so far?
Let's see. On average, you're given about 3 to 4 reviews each week. There's 52 weeks. Say about 234.
You're on crazy people drugs. Crazy people drugs. What the hell kind of weird crazy people drugs are you taking?
If you're watching 3 to 4 movies a week.
It's actually an average of 2 movies a week.
Oh, okay. So 2 movies a week, we're talking about 104.
Close enough. We'd say about 100 because we haven't quite gotten to the end of the year yet, those 52 weeks. There is still another 6 more weeks till Christmas.
Tis true.
Okay, what are they talking about?
Apparently, there's something about...
Who's Felix?
Felix is Felix Travers.
Felix the cat. Oh, Felix Travers. Okay.
Yes.
Peggy said, wow, Felix. I thought for some strange reason there was a Felix in the chat room, and I'm going, who the heck is Felix? Oh, rightio then, moving along. Gibbida 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 gop and a gop gop gop. And maybe one day I should pursue a career in rap. I don't know.
I'm scared.
Oh, no. Scat music. I like scat music. You know, what's-his-face?
You do that.
What the hell was his name? Damn it.
Cab Calloway?
No, not him. Although I liked him as well. Mel Torme. Mel Torme.
Oh, he's a good one, too.
I seen him in concert.
Really?
Yeah. A buddy of mine forced me to go see him. It's like, this is actually not too bad. I don't mind this. But it was weird.
I would like to see, and I just forgot his name. Gosh, he's pretty famous. Oh, you know who I'd really like to go see? If they ever come to Texas, I want to see him. But if
Motorhead.
No. And
no,
actually,
I want to see Motorhead again.
To Texas. But I want to see Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're an awesome group. They do nothing but swing music, and they're doing it with today's twist, and it's really cool.
Okay, fine. But I also want to see Motorhead again.
They are coming to Texas, believe it or not.
As you should watch them then. They just came out. He has another action figure out. Lemmy, ugliest man in rock and roll, has another action figure out. It's funny as hell. I sold it out in 2 weeks. Bought a whole case. I was rather surprised by that. But not really. Moving along. I think Peggy does like this Felix guy.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. He's got a song. I got to do this. He's got a song that has a commandment in it. It's called Thou Shalt Not Bitch.
I so will bitch. Okay. So, movies this week. What did we watch? We're going to start off with the disappointing one.
Okay.
You're going to guess what this one is?
Okay, we're going to say it was on DVD, I'm assuming.
Nope, it was at the theater.
It was at the theater, wow.
It was a first day release opening day movie.
Okay, so that would have been this week. Gosh, not the one I was thinking. Okay, now I'm gonna have to let you tell me.
Ender's Game.
Really?
Yep.
Yes, that did come out this week, that's right.
I didn't really have much in the way of high hopes for it. I was actually dragged along to see it because it wasn't on my first choice list. It's like, yeah, I do want to see that, so let's go. Okay, we'll go see that. Looks all sparkly and everything. And as a sci-fi adaptation, it's a half-decent movie. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to throw spoiler alerts in this one, people, so it's just like, here's the FYIs and the FYIs and yada yabba yabba dabba dib 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 and all that. With a exclamation point and a dot at the bottom. Well, I won't actually give away the story or anything like that. Wait. You should freaking know the story already. The books have been out for like 25 years or whatever. It's a very simple, basic story. My biggest gripe about it is that it's too concatenated. The story is just basically it's a two-hour movie. But it feels like they tried to cram in 2 or 3 years worth of action and activity from the book into this timeline that really only feels like that was a week. How did he go from this to this in a week? You know, it's a very beautiful movie. They up-aged the kids because in the book it's really they're originally like 6 years old as what he starts at. Wow. In the movie, he's like 12 or 15 or whatever. Mm-hmm. On its own, if you've never read the book, you're going to watch this movie and say, oh, okay, that was neat. Went fast, but that was neat.
So, in other words, it's a glorified Waterworld?
It's better than Waterworld was.
Mm.
And by the way, I enjoyed Waterworld. Except for the fact that Waterworld had some of the corniest things. It's like, oh man, we're smokers. It's like, dude, really? Okay.
Cheech and Chong were in that movie, didn't you know?
I did. It's an enjoyable, fun movie. Waterworld was, too. It's just the whole, wait, this little kid has the map of the safest place in the world on the top of her head? What? That was far-fetched. Ender's Game works logically. Everything progresses along a very logical path. That goes to that, goes to that, that goes to that, that goes to that. but I found it myself predictable, kind of slow at points, and kind of really way too PG.
Well, it was a... I think it was focused on the teen side, wasn't it?
Well, it was. But it's... Like, Harrison Ford was the wrong guy to play the badass, tough-as-nails, almost but not quite evil, but really just pushing the edges of boundaries of morality and everything else, general. He felt more like somebody's dad. I mean, yeah. that is part of the story where he sends out the mixed message with, father figure slash militant leader, but Harrison Ford just comes across as the father figure. He doesn't come across one bit as a military, hard-nosed kind of military guy. Just, I don't buy him as that. I buy him as granddad.
And it was supposed to be his role.
Well, yeah, but he's not the major part of the movie. He's just there for the crux moments, is all the stuff that he's supposed to be guiding Ender through his developmental stages towards becoming that ultimate weapon of saving the human race sort of thing.
Gotcha.
Now, I do like... There is one thing that I really liked, and that is the morality question that they never answer, but they do ask.
Okay, what's the question?
The morality of... Oh, okay. Yeah, Jack's making comments there. I was like, no, I don't want predictability. I want to be surprised a little bit by greater depth thrown into it. I hadn't read the book since like 20 years ago when it came out or whatever, so it's like, I don't remember the book anymore. Mm-hmm. The group of me friends who went with me to see it, they were probably much more diehard fans of Orson Scott Card than I was. I enjoyed his stuff. I've read it, and it's fine. The one guy, one friend met the other friend, he said, "You have to read a book." It's like, okay. And he made him read Ender's Game. Also, he ended up, but he gave his wife Ender's Game on their Valentine's Day. It was like, okay. So they were much more fans of the series than I was. I was more moderate. Not, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, Ender's Game, gotta go see it, gotta go see it. Nah, they were just more, they were. I was more like, yeah, okay, it's a movie, it looks fun, whatever.
Right.
But yeah, their comments were as well. It's like, you can't really explore the depth of the book in movie format. It's just impossible. You can't get all of the little crinkly bits into the movie. You can't really fixate much on the impressions, the empathy that you would be feeling for the character in the book. It just doesn't translate in the movie. I did not care about this punk-ass kid on the movie. It's like, oh, great, he's swell, he did that. Yeah, that was good, cool. But after that, I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. It just seemed to come too easy to him in the movie.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, one thing that a lot of people forget to remember is that a lot of times when a movie's based off a book, there is just no way you get that whole story crammed into an hour and a half, or 2 hours, depending on the movie.
Yes, that's true. I mean, look at The Hobbit. The Hobbit was actually a small book, but Peter Jackson is translating it into 3 movies, because he's taking every single freaking thing about the book and putting it into the freaking 3 movies. And that's like, that's cool.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, it totally worked with Lord of the Rings.
Which even Lord of the Rings doesn't have all of the books in it.
Right.
The original release of the movie, or actually, even the extended edition, does not have the one section of the book that talks about the scouring of the Shire, where they basically blew it up.
Now here's the real question. How many people watched each extended version?
I did. I have them all on DVD.
All back to back, yeah. I
watched them even when they did the special release at the theater. We went and watched it again at the theater. That was a 12-hour marathon. I didn't go to the 12-hour marathon. I watched the one movie one night, one movie the other night, and the other movie the other night. I'm not sitting down for 12 hours and watching a stupid movie because I got work to do and stuff to do and people to kill and money to make.
Yeah, but when you have days off back to back and you just want to kind of binge.
Days off?
Well, like most people get 2 days off back to back.
What's this days off stuff you're talking about?
Yeah, he's kind of dazed and confused.
No confused, no dazed. Just no rest for the zombie. Zombies don't rest, don't you know? We keep going and going and going and going and going and going, and then we kill everything.
Oh, you're far from an Energizer bunny.
Oh, no, that's not true. Because we all know that as the zombie gets tired, the more energy he expends.
Okay.
I hand-bombed and created 3 skids of boxes today, and afterwards it's like, I feel like running a marathon. Let's go.
Well, you'll never catch me running a marathon, but I do have to wonder, what was one of the next movies you watched?
Do we think there's any zombies in it?
Knowing you, probably.
Well, you would be wrong, bucko!
What?
This weekend was a completely non-zombie-related weekend.
Well, because I would have thought you would have said yes, because you probably would have bought World War Z since it came out.
I watched it in theater.
Came out on DVD. I thought you would have bought it and watched it again.
I get it later. World War Z was not my top-notch movie. It was like, no, it was okay.
But what's interesting is, and I don't know, let me get your opinion on this. I'm actually seeing that the reviews for this is being that it's probably one of the best zombie movies done in a long time.
Load of crap.
Okay. See, that's what I thought. Because I think your original favorite is the original Night of the Dead.
Sure, Night of the Living Dead, the original, is one of my favorite movies. Dawn of the Dead, the remake in the early 2000s, is. But my favorite zombie movie out right now is called Wreck.
Yes, I do remember seeing Wreck 3 not too long ago.
Yeah, so Wreck 4 should be out early next year. It's like, I'm looking forward to that, because that's like the apocalypse one, yay. But no, World War Z is a fine movie. It's an action movie. It's not a zombie movie. It's an action movie. Gotcha. It's a terrible zombie movie, because it doesn't fixate on the zombies. It fixates on Brad Pitt.
Well, but he's the hero. No, I can't.
No, that's fine. He's the protagonist. He's everybody's. He's all the girly girls' favorite guy. He did a fine job acting in this movie. I had nothing against him in this movie. I had nothing against anybody in the movie. I just thought there were some unrealistic bits about it, but that's whatever. It's a zombie movie. Of course there's some unrealistic bits about it. But I found that watching WWZ was more like watching an action movie, not a zombie movie.
Now, you gotta admit, a good action movie is always worth it.
Sure, but there are a ton of action movies made every year. This movie was supposed to be based on a book that is a zombie apocalypse outbreak, the whole nine yards going on, down, 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 down. The movie was not the book. The movie was like a tiny percentage, a tiny fraction, some root basis of the book. The majority of the book is not even anywhere near in the movie. Now, the ending of the movie leaves it open for an actual story that the book is involved with.
Interesting.
Because if they actually do a sequel, WWZ2, that would probably be the book. And I would probably enjoy the crap out of that.
Would that be WWZZ?
Yeah. That would be my movie, yo. WWZZ.
So, okay, next movie on your list that you watched this week.
Monsters University.
Hmm. You know, of all the movies I expected you to say, I never thought that one was coming up.
Ha! See, I psych you mind. Why do I psych you mind with this movie? Because I actually enjoy the Pixar movies.
Oh, Pixar? Most of them. Awesome.
Yeah, most of the Pixar movies are fun.
Yeah.
And this is no exception. This one's about the how did Mike and Sully end up meeting. And it's like, okay, fun little animated movie. Lots of creative application of animation, and I mean, the characters that they have in the movie are, they kind of all get rather bland after a little while when you're looking at all of the monsters movies. Like, oh, that's a monster, that's a monster, that's a monster. That monster doesn't look very interesting, that's an original. But then you get to this Monsters University one, it's like, oh, look, new kinds of monsters. Oh, look, new kinds of monsters. Oh, look, scary new kinds of monsters for the anime. They're not really all that scary. I mean, they're comedic animated movie type characters and stuff. They were fun.
Right.
What the heck is a holy crap movie? What?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. He's talking... He's talking about the unreality and unrealistic expectations and nature that Hollywood creates in movies nowadays. We're going to talk about that for a bit now.
Okay.
Hollywood puts out crap.
Yes.
End of story. Do we know why Hollywood puts out crap?
Because they keep doing remake over remake over remake over remake.
And you know why they make the remakes all the time?
Because they see it selling in the originals and they think we can make it happen again.
Guaranteed 25% return on investment without even making a piece of crap that you open up a box and it's a plain white line going through the screen. 25% of the people who watched it the first time will go and watch it again.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, Wardog just mentioned one of my favorite movies in the chat room, Event Horizon. Love that movie.
Oh, it was Aliens.
No, Event Horizon is a much better movie.
It was good. I liked them both.
Dude, Event Horizon is an awesome... You should love that movie. It's a ghost ship in space.
I know. I saw one not too long ago. It was kind of weird.
I probably saw it.
Yeah, you probably did. I can't think of the name of it right now, but yeah, it was just, it was odd.
Well, come on, some bits of the odds and odds.
I mean, you always have an odd movie every now and then. Somebody's trying to do their version of that movie, you know, and it's just, it's different. It's just not what you want.
Okay, was it like, we had the big budget Hollywood movie came out recently. What were the 30 different spin-offs? I don't remember. Battle of L.A. was one of them. They had the spin-off ones. I love how Sci-Fi Channel tries to rip off the big budget movies by being, hey, 1 week early into the market, and our movie doesn't quite as good as that one.
Yes, because when Sharknado came out, Sci-Fi came out with something similar.
Sharkpalooza. Actually, Shark Week, Discovery Channel, had a better one than either of them.
Yeah.
The whole Shark Week thing was better. It's like, hey, man, that's cool. Sharks kill people. Yum, 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 num, num, num. Sharks are the zombies of the ocean, you know.
I will laugh because I was in Walmart the other day. I had to pick up something. And when I was walking by one of the bins, you know, they got these old bins of $5 movies. And sitting in this bin was a bunch of Sharknados.
Well, then you should have picked them all up and sold them.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so we're going back to the Hollywood bit.
Okay.
So, Matthew actually mentioned it in the chat room, the bottom line as to what the whole thing about... Hollywood's problem is, and he's calling it industry over actual innovation, which is true, because Hollywood doesn't look for, hey, cool movie. They look for, hey, where's money?
Well, that's all they're all about. I mean, no matter who they are. Biggest and best example of that is Paranormal Activity. If you ever saw the first one, you
hear that sigh?
Yeah.
Do you know what that sigh is about?
You watched it.
I've seen it. I was bored shitless with that movie.
It was not the greatest of films. And what's most disappointing is Paramount took a risk in releasing that, and they got some great advertisement to do, you know, to pump it up so much that they got such an awesome return. $387 million. And they said, hello, let's do it again.
And again.
Yeah, I heard they're coming out with part 5 already.
That's right. And you know what's really worse?
What?
All the people who go watch it again and again and again and think there's going to be something different about the stupid freaking movie.
Well, you know somebody we know all too well.
Yes, she's involved with.
great actress, is was in one of them. Yes. Yep.
And that's great for her. I mean, it's a good role for her and everything else that's involved with it. I liked one thing about the first movie is that the way it was done, it made workable sense for what they did. They were doing a simple movie. They had a simple budget. They effectively created an atmosphere of what they were trying to do. But it was so blatantly obvious that it wasn't very scary to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, one of the funniest things about that movie was, hey, honey, look at my new $6,000 video camera I'm going to use to go and do stuff through. We're going to ghost hunt our house. It's like, okay, half your freaking budget was in that freaking camera, and that was the freaking, and you were just able to write that off completely because you just featured it in your movie.
Yep.
Okay, so that was like goofy, but if you want to watch a movie that lampoons the whole nature of the Hollywood experience of making movies, Rubber.
I've not heard of that one.
It's about a tire that goes around killing people.
Huh.
It's a tire from a car.
I know, but that just...
It rolls around and it kills people by blowing up their heads.
Okay, no, if you want to see a movie that will crack you up laughing... that's a great spoof of none other than Paranormal Activity, then you got to watch A Haunted House.
No, I don't.
Marlon Wayans.
No, I don't have to watch that. Because I watched all the Scream movies. I watched all the This Is Not Another Teen movie. I watched all these parody movies. I watched all the O.J. Simpson... what the hell was those parody movies that made fun of Airplane and everything else?
Oh, yeah, Airplane 2, yeah.
Yeah, all those movies. I used to watch all the movies. I'm bored of those movies, because they're not that funny anymore. Some of them are, but they're not.
A Haunted House was pretty good. It really it really mimicked or mocked Paranormal Activity. And, by the way, I did find out they are coming out with a part 2.
Of course. Of course they are. But... I'm tired of those, because that's also leading to the exact same problem that Hollywood has. The parody is now an expectation. As soon as there's a big budget movie version out, there's now a parody. And not to mention that there's also now a porn version of each of these movies. Okay, come on, Harry Porker for Harry Potter? Seriously? Okay,
no, I think what's more disturbing is you know what the names of them are.
Because they get advertised all over the freaking place. You can't help but see it. Somebody's saying something about it. And it's like, blah, 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 blah. Do you know what movie I want to watch I haven't gotten around to seeing it yet? It is Big Ass Spider.
You know why I'm not going to watch that one?
Because it's a big ass spider?
It just has something to do with spider. That's all that matters.
Huge ass spider in this movie. Movie, eventually the spider gets bigger than the house. Cool. I want to watch it.
Heck no.
But yes, I don't think Hollywood, and it's been a while, Rubber was the last parody / satire that I've seen that was really good at lampooning movies. Mm-hmm. Most of the ones I've seen recently, and what was the last one I saw? With what the hell was her name? Running through the sprinklers and her top falls off.
Oh, that was in...
Oh, crap, what the hell?
Oh,
they were making fun of I Know What You Did Last Summer, the one about the call in the house.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Scream.
No, it was... I'm going to find it right now. Scary Movie.
Scary Movie 3 or 4 or whatever. And there were some funny bits in those.
That one was the first Scary Movie.
Yes, the first Scary Movie was awesome.
Actually,
the third were... Okay. The second one had some great bits. The third one was like... Really? And then the fourth one was, not so much. I'm stopping there.
Yeah. I love the first one. I love their poltergeist thing with the clown, but then the ending of that was, no.
Yeah, exactly. And parodies, it just feeds into the whole thing that Hollywood is. Oh, we can't come up with an original idea. Let's lampoon something that already exists.
Yeah.
Like, come on. There is a statistic. I'm going to throw a number out of my butt because I can do that. There's 10,000 books, new books, full-on novels released every year into North America.
I know a great one.
Okay.
I know one. It really should be a movie. I think you would agree.
There are hundreds of them that should be movies. Yeah, you're going to talk about The Mortal Vampire. And Greg would talk about At the End of Church Street, and I will talk about at some point one of mine when it comes out, which should be sometime next year, I think, but I'm not sure.
I think Greg's right, though. At the End of Church Street really is a good story concept, too, and it really should be a movie.
But you see, this is the thing. A lot of good movies based on short stories. And there are, I say 10,000 novels every year. There are tons more short stories released every year. I think Bad Mustard should be a movie. I could totally get behind that if anybody is out there listening and wants to actually do it.
I still say Devil Monkey.
Devil Monkey! I don't say Devil Monkey anymore. I am the Devil Monkey. Devil Monkey! He lives inside of me! Or I live inside him, or it's some kind of convoluted, weird blah, 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 kind of thing. You know what? I think we're going to do the intermezzo now, and then come back and talk about Hollywood.
Sounds like a winner.
That, I think, is a good plan.
All right.
Silver Street.
Wiggity whack, that's whack, we're back. I think I hear my holler back. I don't know what else is going to go with that crack, but we're not Mayor Ford and we're not smoking crack. And I'm going to guess that only two people in the chat room will get that reference.
Hmm.
I'm just guessing. I'm wondering whether or not, oh, I'm waiting to see if anybody does. If anybody does. Is anyone going to get it? Are they going to get it? It's like, okay, well, I know at least one person was mentioning it earlier, and I know at least one person is in the same city as me, so we're going to see. Are they going to get it? I don't see anybody getting it.
You forget about the delay.
No, I'm not. That's why I was temporizing. See, I knew about the delay, the 30-second delay, the window to the soul. The soul is dead. Kill that soul. I don't know what happened to its head. Maybe I am smoking crack. I don't know. It's just whack.
You definitely are a poet.
Maybe. That's why I was playing the song Poet's Justice by Uriah Heep. Uriah Heep's one of my favorite bands. I like them. They're fun. They're weird. They're very poetic, too, in their music. Hence the reason.
War Dog's question is the best for you.
So I've given him a response. Yes, Matthew got it. I'm surprised Jack didn't. Very sad. Oh, he was typing but didn't... Okay. That's fine. It's not like it's a really big deal anyways. I think it's a freaking joke anyways, so I'm not going to comment on it much. But we are going to get back to what we're going to talk about for the rest of the show, and that is Hollywood, or as I like to call, Hollywood, but they couldn't.
Right, like the little train could.
Yes. See, I mentioned the one movie in the chat room called The Road. I don't know if you've seen it.
I don't recognize it.
Viggo Mortensen's in it. It is frequently billed, and I will frequently refer to this movie as one of the most depressing freaking movies of all time. It is. The one thing I loved about the movie, it was so very, very, very freaking non-Hollywood that it's... just one of those movies. It still has a moderately happy ending, but guess what? Everybody freaking dies. And I don't mean just like, oh, the guys over there did, and the guys over there did. No! Everybody freaking dies in this movie, except for the little kid. It's a very depressing movie. I mean, I watch this movie, it's like, yeah, okay, it's kind of whatever. And then the main character, Viggo's wife in the movie, at one point they're really depressed because it's the apocalypse, everything's dead, there's no food, there's nothing going around. It's like, what do we do? What do we do? We can't survive. Oh, and there's a lot of whiny stuff in this movie, and I agree with War Dog's comment about it being sucky and whiny is definitely the case. However, the one scene where the wife just gets up at one point in the middle of dinner after making sure that the husband and the kid have dinner, and she's wearing just her panties and a shirt, walks out into a freaking snowstorm and just walks away with no clothes, basically, on. She just died. She committed suicide by doing this.
Oh, okay.
It's just... What?! It's just one of those freaky catch-you-out-of-the-move-like sign. It's like, dude, I had goosebumps watching that scene because it was, like, freaky as hell. But I loved it.
So she just was totally out of it.
She just basically said, I'm clocking out. You guys have fun. See ya.
Hmm.
And the whole rest of the movie is about Viggo trying to protect his kid from whatever real or imagined fearsome things that he could see or think or thought was going on in the rest of the world at that time. And it's the end of the world. There is nothing there. It's all gone. Everything's gone. Bye-bye. Nothing left. Meets cannibals. Yeah, they're a fun bunch. Meets a guy who tries to rob him on the side of the street, something like that. Oh, and there's a dog.
And a dog.
Oh, she wasn't in the book. I never read the book. I never got around to it. It's like, if it was that depressing a movie, I didn't figure the book would be less depressing. So I said, forget it. I wasn't going to watch it or read it. But, yeah. Oh, not that way anyway. Okay. But I thought that was good. That was cool, the way they did that. But. Yeah. My big issue, now I've always said this for a long time, Hollywood makes crappy movies. The only thing I think Hollywood makes that are good is the occasional comedy. And really good movies that get put out by Hollywood are made by people who champion a movie. Peter Jackson and what he did with Lord of the Rings and what he's doing with The Hobbit, he is personally taking control of that franchise and doing it. He personally gets the people involved behind it. He personally gets everybody else part of that project, and he personally takes control of the whole thing. Now, maybe it's a little much what he's doing with three movies on The Hobbit when it's like a tiny little book. So, hey, giant movies, great, he's making money on it, but at least what he's doing is he's putting out a good movie. He's taking a good script, taking a good story, and making a good movie.
What about J.J. Abrams?
He's got hit and misses.
Yeah, there was a couple of those.
He's got a lot of hit and misses. He's been doing TV and made-for-TV movies from, like, back to the 70s.
So, but we're going to take it to Star Trek.
Which one?
Well, he's done the last two.
Yes.
So what do you mean, which one? He's done both of them.
Okay.
And nothing? You don't think he's grasped the series and taken the reins on this one?
I think he's taken it another direction, but all he's really doing is reinterpreting and redoing it. He's not creating something original. He's just rebooting it. And Matthew's asking about how do I feel about this film, but I can't see his IMDb link. So.
Seeking a friend for the end of the world.
Sorry?
Seeking a friend for the end of the world.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with the movie.
This is the one with Steve Carell, who...
Oh, wait. I saw an ad for that. That looked boring.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Oh, wait a sec. This was a black comedy, but not quantity comedy thing. They're having a party or whatever, and then they get, oh, by the way, end of the world, sorry, kind of thing.
I'm assuming.
That looked boring. I'm sorry, Matthew. It looked really boring from what I saw.
Yeah.
But to answer your question about Star Trek, I like his interpretation of Star Trek, however, because it's modern, it's new, it's different, it's stories, but it's still, sorry, it's not new, it's different, it's the same. It's not reinventing anything. It's not taking an original story and saying, I want to produce an original story. It's taking an existing story and readapting it.
Well, I think part of the reason, and I can understand this, I can understand this, but at the same time, I think some things should change. But you've got a storyline that you already know.
Yeah, and this is what Hollywood does. They invest in what already exists, rather than taking a chance on stuff that's new. The only things that get done that's new, fresh, innovative, unique, experience worthy is when it's championed by a person or a group of people who say, we are going to put out something different.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a question, and no, he has not had a lot of great ones, but M. Night Shyamalan.
I'm not a big fan of his, not especially after The Crappening. The Crappening was a movie that was like, what? I just spent 2 hours watching this freaking movie and it was a bunch of freaking trees? No. Lady in the Lake or whatever the hell it was?
Oh, man.
No! Boring! I did, however, like The Mist. And The Mist. I loved Unbreakable.
Yeah, yep.
The ending to The Mist was like, okay, that's my number two most depressing movie.
Yeah. Well, there's a movie that's out called Devil.
Oh, yes, you mentioned this was the one that you saw this week.
Yes, and it is an M. Night Shyamalan.
Really? That must be one of the reasons why I haven't seen it yet, then.
I've figured that. he has a hand in this, but I gotta say, it's got a wicked twist in it.
I heard about this twist from reading the back of the thing, and it said, okay, well, that was pretty obvious.
Some of it's, well, you can almost predict some of it, but...
Oh, by the way, when we're talking M. Shaman, Dama, 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 Ding Dong, I was not a fan of The Sixth Sense.
Really?
I thought it was predictable.
I did not get that the first time around.
Yeah, about halfway through the movie, he's like, oh, right, he's Okay.
Yeah. Well, there was something about that. I saw the behind the scenes on The Sixth Sense, and there was a note that they mentioned in there, and I have seen this in almost every movie since then.
The red?
Anytime,
red.
And, yeah, anytime an important scene's coming up, red is there.
Yep.
And that's not just for his movie. It's for every movie.
It's not every movie.
Oh, just about.
No.
At least 90%.
No, it's a crock. Hey,
if you can throw movie percentages out there, I can too.
Well, yeah. But I can always still say it's a crock. Oh, by the way, one of my favorite quotes about that is, you know what? Facts are wrong. They can be used to prove anything. It was a Simpsons quote.
Well, 100% of all divorces begin in marriages.
No, they don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some divorces begin in engagements.
There's no divorce then.
There is. If an engagement becomes a wedding and then they get married, but it began because of the engagement, not because of the wedding. Oh. Wait, who's twerking in their soda? What?
What?
Oh, Matthew's talking about twerking and now he feels dirty because he said that word. It's like, yeah.
Right? Ooh, Jacob's Ladder.
Jacob's Ladder was a great movie. It was messed up. It was freaky. It went dark places and explored possibilities. And I thought it was a fun movie. And by the way, when I say fun, I mean nasty, but an interesting exploration of the human psyche and condition, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I recently saw John Dies at the End. It's like, well, great. That's a quirky movie, too. That's not what you would expect.
And that was a good movie.
It's not a Hollywood movie, so this is why I like. And for horror movies, I'm not really into the big-budget horror movies that Hollywood puts out. I think they're all boring. But the foreign stuff, the B-budget movie stuff, the guys who work harder, work faster, work stronger, but don't actually get a lot of money, well, I don't know what the hell.
I'm not sure. Let me ask you, though. You're talking that you're not fond of all the big Hollywood movies, but I know one that's
not all of them.
Well, I know one that's on the top of your list, but... And you know what? I actually have it in front of me. I should be able to look at this.
Who it's was a lie.
No. Who was the director of The Avengers?
Kevin Sorbo.
That would be hilarious if that was true.
That would be hilarious if that was true. But Kevin Sorbo, he's funny. You're talking the Joss Whedon movie, The Avengers.
Ah, Joss Whedon. There you go.
See, I like him for the most part, because he's also another one of those guys, like Peter Jackson, that champions the project that he's doing. Mm-hmm. And this is that's really the role that the director should be taking, is, I'm making a movie, gosh darn it. I want to make the best darn movie I can make. Wait. Producer people, you have a lot of control over my movie because you're giving me my money. I understand that part of the equation. However, you want a great return on your investment, or do you want a moderate return on your... You want just a... Okay, then we'll make a piece of crap that fills seats. You want a great return on your investment? Shut the hell up. Stay the hell out of my way. Let me make the damn movie.
And there's quite a few that do it. Now, I will use, and I can't say the movie because or the director's name. I can tell you off the air, but only because I have connections with this and don't want to ruin that. But a particular horror movie that made it out to seven particular films that a lot of people are very familiar with.
Better not be Human Centipede, because I thought that was lame.
No. This particular guy said that the reason that they did not film in the United States was because of the fact that they thought the same as you did on Hollywood. They do not like Hollywood.
And it's not Hollywood that's the problem. It's the machine behind Hollywood. It's the whole...
The red tape and all that.
Not the red tape, it's the whole mentality behind that machine that says, in order in this city to make a gosh darn movie, you gotta use our boys. And not only that, you gotta use our techniques, and our marketing, and our way of thinking about things, because that's the only way you can make a movie. It's like, you know what? In this day and age of modern technology, it's a load of crap. I can take $40,000. I can make a great freaking movie anywhere in the world. It's just a matter of getting the right team of people together.
Yep. Yep. That's true.
I mean, because nowadays I don't even have to necessarily be in the same freaking place as 40 different people to make a freaking movie. I could be here in Toronto. I could have 13 people over there in San Mateo. I could have another 2 people in Texas somewhere. I could have 14 people over there in Romania. And you know what? For less than your freaking movie over there. And guess what? My percentage of return will be better. Because B-horror movies, they make money.
Right. This is true.
What Arklick just said as well, movies by Accountant Inc. And I think, see, you remember Firefly, the TV show, right?
Yeah.
And you remember Joss Whedon was doing the show. It's like, hey, yeah, great, we're doing the show. When he originally set that show up, he was given a hands-off policy. The producers were told, my show, we'll do it. We'll make a great show. We'll have a great following. People will love this show. Guarantee you. And he got that. He definitely made that delivery on that promise. But then the producers started getting greedy and manipulative, and they started saying, hey, you know what? Why don't you throw in some cutesy shit here so that we can make some merchandising on it? It's like, what? We had this discussion at the beginning. You guys hands off. Me make TV. Me make TV. Me make good TV. It does not involve what you want to do to over on this other side about merchandising. You can merchandise the crap out of the stuff, but you merchandise what I put in. I do not want to listen to you say, put in a cute little fuzzy wuzzy wabbit. No.
Right.
Why? Oh, I'll tell you why. Because it kills the story. Like, how do you get this fuzzy wuzzy wabbit into the story? It doesn't exist in this environment. It can't. It's, like, stupid. And I'm getting worked up about this, too, by the way. Cool.
Yeah. And watch your time.
Yeah, I know. 7 minutes. I got it. I got my clock, a big clock sitting over there in the corner going bing, 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 bam!
But you know how I am with clocks. I don't look at them.
Oh, really? That's too bad. I can't help but know what time it is all the time. It's a lifetime of looking at clocks.
You should know this by now. You guys are always hollering at me. It's time to go on the air.
Yes, I do that every... Yeah. Gotcha. Moving back to story concept. So, the fuzzy wuzzy bunny wabbit. How do you fit a fuzzy wuzzy bunny wabbit into a universe that has guns and pirates in space? There are no such things as fuzzy wuzzy bunny wabbits in this environment.
Unless you give them guns and put them in space.
But you see, that's the thing. If you wanted to watch that, you should watch a TV show called Puppets Who Kill. Which, by the way, is a fun Canadian show. But that's why one of the reasons why Joss Whedon said screw it on the Firefly series. It was the producers wanted to take control over the creative element of the show and force the show down to patterns that allowed to create maximum profit on side-related items. And it's like, no, that's not what good creative entertainment is about. Good creative entertainment is about a good creative product. Mm-hmm. I get really bugged by the whole, oh, there's no great movie ideas. There's thousands of great movie ideas. They're not pursued because the return on investment from the corporate Hollywood balderdash bilge bugler bumbada bop bop whatevers don't want to greenlight the project because they don't see the return on investment because there is no invested group demographic already built for it. It's like, this is why all the Friday the 13th movies did so well. People went back to see, it's like, oh, wow, how are they going to kill him today? Bah. Did you see Chucky, by the way, the new one that came out?
Not the new one, not yet.
I was really impressed with that because it was a great reboot, but at the same time brought a new story.
Yeah, because it's no longer about the little boy anymore. Yeah, the boy, no longer a little boy.
But the boy makes a guest appearance in the movie, which is awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you got to watch the whole movie right to the end.
Ah.
Through the credits, all the way to the end. There are 3 endings to this movie.
I remember you saying that, yes.
Watch them all. Everybody that's been involved with the Chucky project that is a part of that history is in this movie.
Including, I forget her name.
Jennifer Tilly.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
Wow.
And she still looks hot and bubbly. And that's what I have to say about that. But yes.
And now, wait, I have to ask, because I did hear this, and I don't know how true this is.
It's a lie.
But the original voice of Chucky is not the voice this time.
It's Brad Dourif.
Is it the same voice?
Yeah, I think it is. Who's the original Chucky voice?
I have no idea. I'm just going by a review I read earlier.
No, I think it's the same guy. No, that's Bride of Chucky. I don't want that. Let's just go with Chucky. Chucky.
Child's Play.
Child's Play. Right. That one. 1988. Let's go with that one. Who is Chucky? Come on. Who is Chucky? Yep, same guy. Brad Dourif.
Okay, see? So they, the review was wrong. They thought it was a different voice.
Nope, same guy.
Well, there we go.
And what's even funnier is either his daughter or his sister or whatever is in the movie. Is in the movie that just came out.
Huh.
Let me see if I can remember better.
I think they slaughtered that series when they came out with the Seed of Chucky.
Okay. Seed of Chucky was just funny, lame crap.
Yeah, but I mean, if you were looking for the horror sense of it, you lost it.
Fiona Dourif.
Why do I know that name?
She played Nika in this movie. She's Brad Dourif's daughter. That's right.
Hmm.
So it is her daughter. So that's the both the Dourifs are in this movie.
Well, there you go.
I don't know what Jack was talking about, poker playing and can't stand her voice. But that is irrelevant. So that
like
is...
Fran Dresser?
Huh?
Well, he's saying he can't stand her voice. I was thinking it was like Fran Dresser.
I can't stand her voice. But dude, if you ever see the movie Santa Slays...
Which
she
one?
She gets killed so great.
Oh, yes. The one with Bill Goldberg?
Yes.
Yes, it was good.
It's like that whole little, ow, yeah, dear, has some pay. It's like, what? And she gets her head burned off and thrown into the punch. That's so freaking fun movie.
That was awesome. That was awesome. It was like all the people you want to see gets it right there. It's like, yes.
And not only that, what do they have pulling the sleigh? A bison.
Well, bison, buffalo.
Sorry, moose. Moose or buffalo, one or the other. No, it was a buffalo, that's right.
It was a buffalo.
Yeah, it was a buffalo. They had a real freaking buffalo on set for this.
Yeah, that was really cool. I did not know that. I was watching some of the behind the scenes on that, and I was just like, wow.
They had a real freaking buffalo pulling a sled in the middle of winter for this freaking movie. It's like, I like this movie. It's so much fun. Even though it's just a bad Santa. Oh, speaking of which, bad Santa. Krampus! Krampus is your friend!
Oh, boy.
Krampus, by the way, is the evil Santa.
Yes.
The tradition for Krampus has been around longer than Santa Claus.
Mm. Yes, this is true. But what's coming up next?
Hey, though, we're getting to the end of my show. After Rot is almost over. You got a minute left-ish. And then after that, we've got the... Free cake night, right? Free cake? Everybody get some free cake?
The cake is a lie. You got to trust the pie.
Well, okay, so it's going to be some free pie night with some dude named Felix Trevaire.
That's right. Awesome singer.
And I think I see a couple of new people who are showing up in the chat room getting itchy to listen to your show with Felix. So I think we'll wind down the after rot and say, oh, heck, how you doing, people? Thanks for coming out and listening to me talk about stuff. And have a pleasant evening, all.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Oh, wait. You want that tune, don't you?
Yes, please.
A big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their pick.